Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening from. Welcome to another Thin Line Believers podcast. And just like that on cue, there's a siren in the background that we all get to hear day in and day out doing our jobs. So today I was spending some time in Proverbs, and I was in chapter 22, verse 6, and was reading the verse, and it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I started thinking about who trains us, who has trained us up, who has been authority figures in our lives, who have been our teachers. And, you know, can you think back to authority figures in your lives, who they were? What role did they have in your life? You know, every man has had authority figures in his life. And much of what a man perceives about God and projects onto God was shaped by those people, by those authority figures, whether that be your father, stepfather, preacher, teacher, coach, whoever that is. You know, your perception of God was shaped by them. You know, was yours one who lifted up the Lord in your life or tore any idea of God down? We have both of those. I know some friends whose family was so against church and so against anything having to do with the church that they constantly tore it down and just demolished it for them. At the top of every man's authorities list is his earthly father, really. I mean, we look to him as, you know, the person who cares for us and who provides for us and those things and protects us. And, you know, that's who we first turn to. You know, how your dad handled your heart has shaped you and contributed significantly to your perception of God and how you perceive God. The odds of an unsettled heart falling and then arriving at a disoriented man's view of God and life are 100%. You can have all the theology right and still have the father wrong. Like memorizing facts for a history exam or from a book. You can pass the test but still not love the characters, enjoy the story, and engage in the drama. It is the difference between the head versus the heart. Earthly nature versus godly or spiritual nature. Starting from very different areas, men must journey individually with God to discover both who they are and who they aren't. And just as importantly, a man must discover both who the Father is and who he isn't. And that includes both our Heavenly Father and our earthly father, right? For one thing, he isn't our earthly father when we're talking about our Heavenly Father. Like us, our fathers were wounded men with wounded hearts. They lived in the same story we live in. Our fathers and their fathers before them also had it rough, far worse than most of us. Sons and grandsons, daughters and granddaughters will ever know. You know, hearing my dad's story and how he grew up dirt poor and slept on a dirt floor part of his life, I never had to experience that, thanks to his hard work and his providing for us as a family. I often hear men and women say, quote, "Dad did the best he could." That can be either an excuse or compassion. Right? I mean, it could be an excuse excusing what dad did or didn't do, or it could be compassion for where he came from and how hard he worked. It all depends on how well the son and daughter knows his father's story. You know, most 30 to 50 year old men don't know their father's story and really haven't earned the right to say their dad did his best. What a man discovers from learning his father's story will change his heart towards his father. Misinterpretation and excuses are replaced with understanding and compassion. Besides our dads, many other authority figures have had access to our hearts along the journey of life. Some had a positive impact, but there were others who should have provided for us and protected us, but didn't. Tough coaches who punished us with extra wind sprints, challenging teachers who enjoyed pointing out when we answered wrong, preachers yelling at us or belittling our lack of spiritual knowledge, older siblings embarrassing us, mothers controlling us, so-called friends lost in their own small stories betraying us. All of these reflect a reality I continue to see without Christ at the center. Plain and simple, it comes down to this: broken people break people. So how do we see him? How do we see our Father, our Heavenly Father? How do we see our Lord? I think about this when our daughters, wives, girlfriends, husbands, whoever it is on your significant other, asks us if they look beautiful or if they look good, or if they, look good in what they're wearing, or their hair looks nice. We normally answer, absolutely you do. You look beautiful. You look stunning. You look gorgeous. For the women, you look handsome. You look all right, whatever. But sometimes in return, we hear, oh, you're just saying that because you're supposed to. You're just saying that because that's what you're supposed to say. In my early walk, growing up in the Mormon church, I felt many things that I myself was supposed to do. There was so much expected of you to do to gain favor with the Lord, to be sure I could return to the Lord and be with my family when the time came. I found that disheartening, and oftentimes more of a chore than a relationship. I was caught up too much in things I was supposed to do, say, or memorize, but that got in the way of the relationship with my Heavenly Father and with the Lord. In the middle part of my walk, the statement expressed the way that I frequently felt about my Heavenly Father when I was trying to find my way back. That he sent his son to die for me, but that was his duty. That it was a large inconvenience to him. That he loves me, but then he has to. In other words, my Father didn't love me just because he loved me. He loved me because he was supposed to love me. It was a matter of obligation, not delight. And on my part, I needed to be thankful and obedient and not rock the boat, let a sleeping giant and a sleeping God lie, try not to do anything stupid, but if I did, when I sinned, I was to wake God up to the fact and ask him for forgiveness and then check myself into the penalty box to suffer for a time until he calmed down. That was much of how I looked at God during the middle portion of my life, when I had disconnected in a way and not really dove in headfirst into his word and into the relationship with the Lord and Christ that I had never known before. Some days the suffering started even before I hit the penalty box, even before I did something wrong and went through that. That was usually my cue. You've done something wrong, now go to your room. Most Sunday mornings at church reinforce that underachieving and grim life cycle. Thank you for coming. You don't deserve his love unless you do this, this, and this. Come back next week for more reminders of the abundant life. If I could just put it, pull it all together, maybe he would bless me or at least not punish me. That probably wouldn't happen, but I had at least keep trying, right? I had to keep pushing for that is how I felt back then. This is how I saw God for much of my life, and I'm not the only one. Many believe God is mostly mad at us, on the verge of getting even, setting the record straight. Others see God as distant and disinterested, unconcerned about our daily affairs. Then again, maybe he's behind the inconvenience and hardships of our lives, many think. I wish I had a nickel for every time I've heard a man talk about, being like in Bruce Almighty, that kid with the magnifying glass, burning us and just torturing us and just doing things because he can. Is any of it true? If there is more to God than that, then how does it all work? Who is he really? What is he truly like? Do we physically have to see our Father in our life to know that he is there? Even Philip did not see and realize truly how much the Father was with them in Jesus. In John 14, 8 and 9, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? You know, all other significant moments of redemption, recovery, training, and initiating a man into becoming a beloved son depended on the answer to the foundational question and those questions above, you know, that I asked you. Finding that way and finding who he is in your life. Is he real? Does he work in my life? Do I have to see him to have him be present? Is he present when I don't see him? You know, the answer is always yes. But the enemy of our heart will always attempt to tell us no. It makes sense. How can a man be loved by God if he doesn't trust the one from whom the love is coming and the form and fashion in which it comes from, however that looks? If the source of love is believed to be imperfect, then the message of love from the Father of love will fall on deaf ears and a hard heart. A distrustful man will believe God isn't there, or that God doesn't really care, or worse, that his life is a great disappointment to God. Most men deal with at least one, if not all, of those haunting messages daily, and their responses vary. One man will try and hide, so the messages he is a disappointment won't come true. Another man will attempt some form of effort or control in order to dispel the messages he needs help. Neither man is living from a settled heart. The opinions and criticism of others rule both of their lives. Neither man is ready to love. Each is living afraid. I liken this to my early walk with Christ when I didn't feel I was worthy to do anything, let alone, you know, go to church. And then my relationship started building and the Lord started putting things on my heart to teach at church and to teach a marriage class, even though I had a divorce in my past, to learn as much as I could and pass that on to you guys and gals now that I'm in that portion and that spot in my walk. The fourth chapter of 1 John, verse 18, tells us that perfect love casts out fear. If you could experience perfect love, complete, unconditional, sacrificial, deep, consistent, and continuing, would you allow it? Would you accept it? Would you enjoy it and its effects in your heart? Or would you let the enemy step in and build doubt and distrust, which is what we do a lot of? Such love settles the issue of hiding and controlling. In the face of it, there is no need to hide, strive, or manipulate. You and I are loved in just that way. We have nothing to prove, hide, or fear. Tragically, the enemy of our hearts planted the first seeds of doubt in Eden with the message, "You cannot trust the heart of God. He is holding out on you. Surely you won't die." That lie continues to this day, perpetrating what Satan's scheme to make our hearts distrust God's heart. Today, as on that day, the image bearers take the bait and suffer the consequences. We have been unsettled and unsure of the heart of our Father, of that Father figure, whether that be our spiritual Heavenly Father or our Father on earth. And today, the Father asks the same question that he asks of Adam in the garden. Son, where are you? Do you know where you are? Where are you at this time in your walk? How do you see yourself in him, in his love? Are you struggling with whether you deserve his love? Are there things that come up in your heart that you think, well, he can't love me because of this or that? Is his love and sacrifice just because he must? Or is it because there was a plan for Jesus to come and sacrifice for all of us so that we may return to our Father? I know this message might tug at some hearts, might get your minds thinking. I know it did for me, just putting it together and talking about it and with those questions kind of digging at me and that have always dug at me. I hope you spend some time thinking about that and thinking about you know, the, that authority figure in your life, that heavenly Father, and that, that love and that sacrifice, and that you, it's perfect and it was meant for you, and that relationship was meant for you with our Lord. That you'll take the time to dig deeper and reach out further and stretch yourself to answer the call when the Lord is calling you. And to pray to Him and get the answers and read the Bible and get those answers that, that you have longed for. I hope this podcast has blessed you. I know it has me, like it has every week. It stirs things in me and in Adam every time we reach out to you folks. If you guys need anything, prayer, if you need anybody to talk to, if you need any resources, please reach out. Until next week, be blessed.